Good morning. We were still on the towards the middle of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, page 38b, dealing with different food items that might be bishulei akum, prohibited if they are cooked by the Gentiles. We learned in the Mishnah that there is a prohibition of eating that which is cooked by the Gentiles. And in the Gemara yesterday, we learned that there are several carve-outs to that. If it's something which is edible raw, then it doesn't become prohibited if it's cooked by the Gentiles. If it's something which is not prominent, it wouldn't go on a king's table, it wouldn't be prohibited cooked by the Gentiles. And finally, if there was a Jew involved in the cooking process in some way or another, the Jew started the cooking, the Jew hastened the cooking, the Jew did something, then it's also not prohibited as cooked by the Gentiles. Yeah, question.
We also learned that if you, there's a little bit of something that's not kosher,
yeah,
but it adds to bad taste, then that's fine.
That's correct,
so
that's right.
So according to both these logics, if you go, if you're somewhere, there's no kosher restaurant and you want
right.
Salmon.
Right.
According to this, salmon is, you can eat it?
Well, is the salmon something that gets on to a table of a king? I think yes.
No.
Kings would like a nice piece of salmon.
But can it be eaten raw?
You can't eat it raw.
Yeah,
can't
sure.
Eat salmon
sushi.
Can't eat raw.
Sushi, Rabbi.
Sushi. I don't know. If it's something edible raw, then it does change, right? It wouldn't have the issues of cooked by the Gentiles.
But you can't have a
you know, I think in the non-kosher board, restaurants, you've got lots of other non-kosher that's in the it's in the utensils. They use lard, they use animal fats, so those tastes can get into it. But I guess if you're a non-kosher spot and there's no kosher available, you take a raw piece of salmon and double wrap it in silver foil. And so you buy a tin and you double wrap it so no other taste would get in, you put it into a non-kosher oven, I think that's allowed. I don't know how you'd eat it. Maybe you'd eat it on some paper plates or something. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a braita, talking about different food items here, towards the middle of the big, wider area. Hakusfan. Kusfan is some date, ground dates that they make out of it beer. Shalov de kochavim of the non-Jews, shahuchamu chamin, that were heated up in a pot. So if they were heated, biorik dol in a big pot, usser, it's not allowed. Biorik tana in a very small pot, mutter, it is allowed. Ezu yorok tana, what's a small pot? Amar b'yanai, kol, shein tzipor dror, yochli kanes besocha. Pot with a small opening that a free bird couldn't fly into it. So then you're sure that no non-kosher was used in this pot, and therefore it's allowed. The dilma admui admu availua. I don't understand. Maybe they slid it, they sliced up the non-kosher and they slipped it in, even though the bird didn't fly in. Ella kol shein rosh tzipor dror yochli kanes besocha. If the top is so small that the head of a bird couldn't get into it, so then we're not even worried that maybe it was sliced, the bird, non-kosher bird was sliced and put into the pot. So the Gemara now asks, v'atane b'ilum din abraisa achas yorah gedola v'achas yorah ketana mutter, that even in a big pot, it is, this thing is permitted. So the Gemara, lo kash, it's not a problem. Hakman damer no Saint Tom lufgam aser. The source that says that in a big pot it's not allowed, because we're talking about where it wasn't used for the non-kosher for 24 hours. So whatever taste will come out is a putrid taste. It's not going to add. It's not going to be a good taste. So the one who said you still can't use it if it was done in a big pot, even though the big pot hasn't been used for 24 hours, he thinks that even bad tastes create a prohibition. The Bryce that allowed everything. It's like the opinion that says that if it's a putrid taste, it is permitted. So since the non-Jewish pot sat for a while before it was used for your dates, So therefore, whatever taste comes out of it is not a good taste, and therefore it's permitted. All right, another item. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Hai mishcha shlika d'armai." This cooked oil of the non-Jews, aser is not allowed. Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, "I don't understand. L'may nechusha. What's the issue? Imishum aruve. If you're worried about wine of the non-Jews being put into the oil, Mr. Sari, that ruins the taste. That's not going to happen." If you say the issue is because it's cooked by the non-Jews, so it's prohibited because it's something cooked by the non-Jews. But it's something which is edible when it's raw. So whatever is edible while raw, you don't have a problem with being cooked by the non-Jews. If you say that the issue is in terms of, you know, the tastes in the pots, the pots that they're using are old, the tastes aren't good tastes, so mutter should be allowed. So, boy, my name is Rav Asi. They asked the question of Rav Asi. Hani ahini shliki darmai. These sweet dates. Oh, thank you. Cooked dates. Cooked by the non-Jews. My, what's the halacha? The Gemara answered. Cholya, if it's sweet ones, loti baylach, I don't have a question. The vaday shari, they're certainly allowed because those are eaten raw. So if they're eaten raw and then they're cooked by the non-Jews, it doesn't become prohibited. Meriri, the bitter ones, loti ba'elach, it's also not a question. Devadi asiri, the bitter ones are not eaten raw. They're only eaten when they're cooked. So then they're certainly prohibited once they're cooked by the non-Jews. Kiti ba'elach, the question is mitzia, things that are in the middle. They're not exactly sweet. They're not exactly bitter. They're eaten raw when you don't have another choice. You know, when you push yourself, you eat it raw. You wouldn't want to eat it raw. So how do we classify that? So the Gemara asks, so that's my, what's the law there?
It would not be on a king's table.
Well, once it's cooked, it would go on a king's table.
It's in the middle.
Well, because you say the king only has the best. Right. Well, I think once it's cooked, it's the best. It's when it's raw that it's not so perfect. Please. So the question is, mitzia, things that, you know, are in the middle, they're not exactly bitter, they're not exactly sweet, but they're eaten raw when you need to. So how do you classify that? What's the law? So Amar Luhus, Rav Asi said to them, Mighty Boiluchu, what's your question? Dear Rabbi, Asar, one of our great teachers, prohibits it. Who's that? Levi. Umanu, who was it? It was Levi. All right, a new dish. Shtita. Shtita was a dish made of flour that was made out of popped wheat kernels. And some people make it out of flour of lentils. So Rav Shari, Rav would allow it if it's cooked by the non-Jew. And Avuah de Shmuel v'Levi Asri, Avuah of the father of Shmuel and Levi would prohibit it. The Gemara explains, Bechitu v'sari, if it's made out of the popped wheat and the popped barley, so Kuli Amal Pligi de Shari, then it is allowed. Because we saw earlier that when the cooking of the non-Jews, it has to be that they change the form of the item. When you pop something in the oven, it looks the same, basically. You haven't changed the form. Ki pligi, the question would be, where's the argument? B'tzlafche demaya. When the barley, when it's made out of the flour of lentils mixed with water. So mar savar gazrinan ha atuha. Once said that even when you have it made out of the flour of lentils, it's not allowed because maybe it would be made, even if it's made of the flour of lentils with water, it's not allowed. Because if you'd allow that, then maybe people would eat it when it's made out of the flour of lentils together with vinegar. Mar, vinegar comes from wine. Wine is of the non-Jews is never kosher. Mar Sava, the other opinion is, lo gazrinan, we don't make a decree. If it's made out of the flour of lentils and vinegar, it won't be allowed. But if it's made out of the flour of lentils with water, it is allowed. Ikadama, or others say, b'tlafchi d'maya, when it's made out of the flour of lentils with water, kliyama lo pliyida as, everybody agrees it's not allowed. Because maybe then you'll use the flour of lentils with vinegar and eat that too. Ki pligi b'chiti v'sari. And actually the argument is about when it's made with the popped wheat and the popped barley. Mar Savar Gazvinan Hatuha. One says we prohibit shtita of wheat and barley because of shtita of lentils. It's like some type of a oatmeal, of a farina. So, Umar Savar lo gazim. The other opinion is we don't make this decree. Amar Rav, Rav said, Trei minesh tita shadar barzila agilalid l'David. When David HaMelech ran away from Avshalom, his Barzilai Aguiladi sent him two types of this farina, two types of this shtita. Let's see what it says. Mishkan, Mishkav, you know, beds, vesapos, and utensils, ukleyotzer, and craftsman utensils, chitim, wheat, usorim, barley, vikemach, and flour, vikali, and that which was popped in the oven, upul, and beans, vaadashim, and lentils. Vikali is the shtita. So it says, Upul va'adashim, so that means there was both shtita of kemach, shtita, kali of kemach, and kali of pul va'adashim. So there is two types of shtita that was sent. Vahashta hu de kamach ki tzani tzani, l'shukedin harda, and now there are people who take these utensils filled with shtita out to the market in Hardav, unless the chayish lahadavud Shmuel Levi. Nobody's worried about what the father and Shmuel and Levi held, that it's not allowed. We do buy it from the non-Jews. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Yes. So now, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah has a whole list of things of the non-Jews that that we're not allowed to eat. We are allowed to get benefit from, but we're not allowed to eat. Right? We started off with things we can't even get benefit from, then we went on to things we can't eat. The next mission will be things that you are allowed to get benefit and eat from.
Benefit,
benefit is to sell. Sell it, make money off of it. Yeah.
Baruch, you're asking about what is an animal.
So now the
you have to go to the beach.
So the Mishnah listed all sorts of things that you can't eat. So the Mishnah says ukvashim. One of them are things, various pickled items, things that are soaked. Shadarkon lasis besochan yayin. That the norm is to put wine in them. Amar Chizkia said, Lo shanu ela shadarkam. We're talking about things that it's normal to put in wine, but you don't know that there was wine. So some don't put in wine. So therefore you can't eat it. I will be a dua. But if it's something where you know wine goes into it, asarfilu ba'ana, then you can't even get benefit from it. So Gemara says, 1 second, umayishnamim worries, desharu rabbana ba'ana. Why is it any different than the fish do? Many people put wine in, you know the wine went in, and you are allowed to get benefit, you just can't eat it. Asam la bure zuama. That wine is wine just to take away the bad smell. Ha chalam atuke taima. But when we talk about things that are pickled and soaked, the wine is being put in to add taste, and therefore there would be a prohibition of getting any benefit. Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu biadua. Even when you know that the wine went into these kvashim, nami mutter, you're still allowed to get benefit, you're just not allowed to eat. Umay shnami murius. Why is it different from murius that according to Rabbi Meir, aser ba'ana, you can't even get any benefit? The answer is hasam yadiyam amasho. There you can see the wine that's in it. So it's like, consuming wine directly. Acha, but over here with the pickled things, lo yadiyam amashan, you're eating the vegetable. You're not eating the brine. And the brine is just to preserve the vegetable. So therefore, there is no prohibition of benefits.
So pickles in a non-kosher wine is not allowed, am I right?
For sure. That's for sure. Not allowed. That's
but
right.
But regular pickles without any wine in it is allowed.
Regular pickles, if you knew that there is no wine, you have to have hashgacha. Vitaris trufa. Then the Mishnah listed another thing that you can't eat from the non-Jews. This taris trufa. This is some type of herring that were ground up. So sort of like a tuna fish of some sort. So the reason why you can't eat it is because maybe there's some non-kosher fish also ground in with the ground fish.
Gefilte fish.
Similar to that. Another thing the Mishnah listed, Vitzir Shein Badaga. And the brine of fish that doesn't have the small fish kalbit in it. So, and then the Mishnah says something else you can't eat is chiluk. So my chiluk, what is this chiluk? So I'm Rav Nachman Rabba Merav Zu Sultanit. It's Sultanit, it's a small fish. We pnei ma'asur, why is it not allowed? We pnei she'er vona ola'ima. Because all sorts of things are picked up with it in the nest, in the nets.
Like a sardine, small sardine.
So some type of a small sardine that also gets some non-kosher varieties in the normal picking of it. And then they mix it all together. I think like 20 years ago, I remember there was a whole issue about tuna fish, that a lot of the tuna fish gets prepared out in the sea. And they discovered that when they, you know, can't have a mashgiach on every boat, that many of the times when they pull the big fish out of the sea, they chop it up. There are also some little pieces of non-kosher fish that get mixed in.
Where that empty bottle of shishim, no?
Yeah. That is the question. These are the issues, batel b'shishim, exactly. It could be that with fish, maybe the Rambam says there's a separate mitzvah to check it to make sure it's kosher, like you check the signs. But yeah, batel b'shishim is part of the whole discussion, that's for sure. Tana Rabbanan learned in a braisa. A fish, ain lo achshav, right now it doesn't have fins and scales. But v'asa l'gadol achazman, but in the future it will develop fins and scales, kigona sultanit, like this little fish, sultanit, we said was a type of sardines. V'ha'afitz, ha'reza mutter, it's allowed. Yesh lo achshav, let's say it now has fins and scales. V'asad l'hashir b'shashol minayam, and when you pull it out of the sea, it's going to fall off the fins and scales. Kagon, like these varieties of fish. Akunis, akunis, katispias, ichspitias, and utnas, that's also mutter, that's also kosher.
I think one of them is considered a swordfish, you know?
I don't know.
Which is, for sure not.
I don't know.
Greek name. Swordfish is not. What do you mean? It's kosher. No, it's not.
Yeah, in the sea, there the scales are on. When you pull it up, it'll fall. They'll all fall off.
If we know this is kosher, we allow
it. That's what it's saying here. Yeah. Achriz Rebavo beKesari. Rebavo announced in Caesarea. Kirve dagim, the fat of the fish oil of fish, ubaran, and their eggs, nikachami kaladzam, you can buy them from anyone, even from a non-Jew, and there's nothing to worry about. Why? Because cheskasan, einan bayan elami pilusa vaspamya, they only come from these places, pilusa naspamya, and those places they don't have non-kosher fish. Ki adam rabbi zabai said, haitzachanta, the Vavnahara, this Sachanta, the chilik of Bavnahara, this type of sardine of this place, Bavnahara, that they grow in the river Bav, Sharya are allowed. My time, or why is it allowed? Our Mishnah says that these sardines are not allowed. So, Elaim Mishnah Durudifim Hai, if you're going to say, because in Bav, the river Bav, the water runs very fast. V'hai Dag, tell me if it would be a non kosher fish, given the Lesli Chut HaShedra, since the non kosher fish don't have a spine. In those places which have very fast waters, they can't survive. But we do see that in the river Bav, or I guess in other rivers, we see that there are running waters, there are rapids, and they do have non-kosher fish in them. So maybe the fact is in Bav, the water is very salty. And a non-kosher fish, doesn't have scales. So it can't survive in a place where the water is very salty. That's also not true. We see that the non-kosher fish do survive in rivers with very salty waters. Ella, the reason why in Bav Nahara, in the river Bav, Abaye was sure that the sardines are kosher. Ella, the reason why is Mishum de lo Marbatina. In this river, in this river, the floor of the river doesn't allow the non-kosher fish to succeed there, to nest there, to grow there. Therefore, they move to other places. Amar Ravina said, "Ha'idni de kashafchi bay." Nahar Guz and Nahar Gamza. But nowadays, we're into this river Bav, they've put also other rivers, the Guza River and the Gamda River. Now at Siri, now we are back to having a problem with these sardines that come from this river, because maybe from those other rivers you'll have non-kosher fish that'll mix in.
But it's kind of interesting, this paragraph here. Because there is no scale? When they're young, apparently they have them and then they shred them.
I don't know, maybe they maybe it's not sufficient for what the Gemara was talking about. All right, other types of fish. Amar Abaya Abaya said, Hay chamra diyama. Gemara tells us in Chulin that whatever exists on land, there is like a parallel in the ocean. So the donkey of the ocean, Shari, is allowed. But Torah Diyama, the ox of the ocean, is not allowed. Because if on land the ox is kosher, in the ocean the ox is not kosher. The Simanach, the way to remember is Hatam Etar, whatever is not kosher on land, namely the donkey of the land, is kosher in the sea. Atar, what's kosher on the land, Tameh is not kosher in the sea.
I didn't know that.
I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi
That's
said.
That's why you're here. You're learning.
Shvar Nuna. Shvar Nuna is, again, some type of a fish. Shari is allowed. But Kadash Nuna, another type of fish. Kadash Nuna is also not allowed. The Simanach, the way to remember is Kadash is like the word Kodesh. Kodesh LaHashem. It's holy to God. It's not for us. Yikadami, a different version of this, Kvar Nuna, the fish Kvar is not allowed. The Simanach, the way to remember it is Kivrei Ovdei Kol Chavim, it's like the graves of the idolaters. A story, we saw a similar story the other day, Rabbi Akiva Ikla Leginzak. Rabbi Akiva came to the town Ginzak. Aisel Kameahu Nuna Tahavu Dami. They brought for him a fish that looked Lechipusa, like this non-kosher fish Chipusha. So Rabbi Akiva covered it with his basket, and the fish was, you know, moving around in it. And Chazabe Kalfi, then when they took it off, they saw on the walls of the basket the scales. The Shaya, then he allowed it. I mean, I guess you have to be able to still see some scales. Apparently in the swordfish, you can't see any scales. Rav Ashi Ikla L'Tamduria. Rav Ashi came to a town, Tamduria. They brought him a fish that was similar to the tzlufcha, which is also apparently a non-kosher fish, an eel. So he took it and he stood it in front of the sun. He held it up in front of the sun. And he saw that it had very slight scales. V'shayah, then he permitted it. Rav Ashi also came to this place. Lishvarnuna. They brought him a fish. It also looked like a non-kosher fish. Looked like shvarnuna. Chafya b'mishchle chivra. He covered it with some type of white thing.
White bowl.
White what?
A white bowl.
A white bowl, okay. And chazabe. Then he saw on the bowl, kalfe, I guess some black scales. V'shari, then he allowed it. Rabbi Bar Barchana Ikla Akra da Agma. He came to Akra da Agma. Krivale, they brought him tzachanta. They brought him this tzachanta fish to eat. Shamilahu Gavra, he heard a person who was saying, Davakara le Bati. He was saying, oh, this is Bati. Bati is the name of a non kosher fish. So he said, Midakakara le Bati, if they call it Bati, Shmamina Dover Tami Ispe. That must mean that it has some non kosher in it. Therefore, Lo Achamine, he wouldn't eat from it. But Safa, the next morning, Ayinbay looked into this tzachanta, an ashkach bei davar, he found in it a non-kosher fish, davar tamei. Kari anafshe, he said, oh good, it's good that I didn't eat it. I didn't know that there was non-kosher, I just assumed because people were referring to it in a non-kosher way. So this is the verse, lo yu'una l'tzadik kol avon, God will not allow the righteous to end up making a mistake doing a sin. God protects the righteous from eating the non-kosher. The Mishnah said that another item of the non-Jews that we can't eat is kor shel chiltis. A small slice of chiltis. Chiltis is a type of very sharp fruit. So my timer, why can't you eat it? The answer is Mishum de mafsakile besakina, because they use knives that have on it fat of non-kosher animals. And the Alpha Gavdabar Mar no sin tam lefgam mutter, even though normally we have a rule that if there's a putrid taste, a taste that's not beneficial, that doesn't create a prohibition. So you say, well, the taste of the fat is not good, so it doesn't create a prohibition. No, but since the chiltis is very sharp, agav churfe de chiltis, because it's sharp, is called the concept of davar charif, machlaya le sham nenusa, it sweetens the fat, v'havle knosin tam l'shvach v'asr. That makes it into a positive taste, and therefore it becomes prohibited.
So in theory, if we cut an apple with a non-kosher knife?
I'm not sure. They're translating chiltis as an apple?
No, I'm just saying.
Depends on the item. What's considered a sharp item? So onions, garlic, radishes, but not clearer than anything else. Avde d'Rav Levi, have a kamazbin chiltisa. So the slave of Rav Levi was selling chiltis. Kinach nafshid Rav Levi, after the death of Rav Levi, also l'kamed Rav Yochanan, they asked Rav Yochanan, they said to him, can we still keep buying from this slave? Or do we think that maybe now that Rav Levi died, the slave is buying the chiltis from non-Jews and it's not kosher? Lucy said, listen, the slave of a very pious man is like the pious man himself. It's certainly kosher, you can rely on him. Now, when you buy tcheles, when you buy the wool strings that have wool, that have the blue dye on them, there's a danger. Why? Because if you're wearing a linen garment, a garment that's has four corners but made out of flax, so there's kilayim, there's shatnez in mixing wool with flax. But if it's the mitzvah of tchelet, then you're allowed to do it. So there was a tchelet which came from the chilazon, was expensive. So there was a big forgery called kala ilan, that they would use a plant-based indigo. So when you buy from someone who's not reliable, maybe you're getting wool that's dyed with kala ilan, and maybe you're creating shatnez. So Rav Huna, the son of Minyumi, used to keep buying tcheles from the people of the household of Rav Amram Chasida. In other words, from the wife of Rav Amram Chasida. Also, the kamed Rav Yosef. So he went to Rav Yosef, and he asked, can I do it? Can I rely that the same way Rav Amram Chasida was pious, his wife is pious, and she's selling me what is truly wool dyed with chilazon blood, and not that's dyed with kala ilan? Love be yad, he didn't know. So pagabe Hanan Chaita. So Hanan, the tailor, met Rav Huna. Rav Huna told him, Rav Yosef doesn't know the answer to my question. Amale, so Hanan, the tailor, said, Yosef Anya Minole. Where would the poor Yosef know the answer to this question? But Dididi Avu Uvda, I had such an issue. And I was buying tcheles, I was buying blue wool from the wife of Ravna, who is the brother of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, after he died. And I came in front of Rav Masna, and I asked him, he didn't know. And I went to Rav Yehuda from Hagronya, Amar Li, and he said, Nafalta liyad. Ah, you fell into my hands. You need me. Achi Amar Shmuel. We have a tradition from the greatest of all the rabbis, Shmuel, the leader of Narda. Eishas chaver kachaver. The wife of a pious man has the same status as the pious man. The same way she's believed when he's alive, she's believed when he's not alive. The Tanur Rabbanan, we looked in a brice like this. Eishas chaver kachaver. Avdo shel chavareu kechaver. The wife of a pious man who's careful with all the laws is like the pious man, and the slave of the pious man is like the pious man. Chaver shemeis, if the pious man dies, ishto vanav, his wife, his children, bnei beiso, the members of his household, areim becheskasan, they stay in the presumption of being very reliable, ad sheyechashdu, unless something happens to make us suspect them. Vechein chatzer shemochrin bo. Tcheles. Let's say you have a courtyard where people come and they sell tcheles, and we know there was kosher tcheles there. Harei ad shetipasel. It's still in the same chazaka. You assume that it's kosher tcheles until you have a reason to think not. Tanabanim lived in a brisa. Eishas, we know that there are differences between the ignorant and the chaverim, and the pious. The pious would give all of the tithes. The ignorant would only give chuma gedola. They wouldn't give maaser rishon and maaser sheni because it was too expensive. Amaratzim, exactly. So Tanabanim, we were taught by our sages in a brisa. Eishas amaret shenises. If the wife of an amaretz goes and marries l'chaver to a, you know, very knowledgeable, pious Torah scholar, v'chein bito shel amaretz shenises l'chaver, or the daughter of an amaretz who marries a chaver, or v'chein avdo shel amaretz shenimka l'chaver, or if the slave of the amaretz is sold to a chaver, so they're not necessarily with the status of the chaverim. Kulin tzrichim l'kabel divrei chaveris, they need to accept upon themselves the ways of the chaverim. They have to start giving tithing. They have to eat all their, you know, items in a state of purity. And then eventually, if we see that they're acting in the right way, then we'll start believing them. Aval eishes chaver shenises l'amaretz, but the wife of a Torah scholar who now goes and marries an amaretz, v'chein bito shel chaver, the daughter of a pious man, shenises l'amaretz, who marries an amaretz, v'chein avdo shel chaver shenimka l'amaretz, or the slave of a chaver who sold to an amaretz, ein etzichon l'kabel divrei chaveris l'chatchila. According to Rabbi Meir, they are still assumed to be chaverim. They don't need to accept upon themselves anything. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, once they're in the home of an amaretz, so they're going to be influenced by the amaretz. So even though they came from the right homes, now they need to accept upon themselves all these behaviors to be trusted. Rabbi Shimon Elazar taught us, Masa b'isha achas, it was a story with a woman, shenises l'chaver. She was married to a Torah scholar who was careful with masros, with the tithes. Vaisa kosheres lo tefillin al yado. She was so pious, she used to tie the tefillin onto his arm. Then he died. Venises lemoches. Then she married a tax collector. Vaisa kosheres lo kishrei moches al yado. She used to tie all the seals to help him collect the taxes illegally on his hands. So you see that, you know, once a woman's married to a husband, the husband has a big impact.
And by so
not in English.
I'm a Rav. Rav said, Chavis. These things that start with Ches, Beis, Yud, and Taf. Aser, you can't send them in the hands of a non-Jew, B'chosam Echad, with a single steel. Champag, these things, Mutter B'chosam Echad, you could send them as long as they have a single seal. What is chavis? Chalav, milk, basar, meat, yayin, wine, and tcheles need two seals. Asurim b'chosam echad. If you send them with a single seal, we can't trust it, because maybe the non-Jew is going to swap it out and replace it with forged stuff, with non-kosher stuff. What is champag that could be in a single seal? Chiltis, these little sardines. Murius, fish stew. Pas, bread, and gvina, cheese. Utarim b'chosam echad, that you can send in a single seal, because there's not such a great profit available with these things. So we're not worried that the non-Jew is going to swap it out for his own stuff. The Gemara now explains, pas l'may nechushla. Why with bread would we even think that you should have to have two seals? That maybe the non-Jew is going to put his cold bread instead of this hot bread. Made the idea. Everybody will know it then. He's not going to be able to do that. If he's going to replace wheat bread with barley bread. Made the idea. Everybody's going to know that too. If he's going to replace wheat bread of ours with his wheat bread. If there's a seal, it's going to be a little bit of a hassle. If he's not going to go through that hassle and you know, take away a seal and replace a new seal, you just press the button to let the person in.
Where do you have to check the face?
I assume it's okay.
There's a chazaka.
You don't have to lift the phone.
There's a chazaka, I assume, right?
Because Kashrus, who else is coming to make trouble?
So the Gemara now says, "V'Rav." Now Rav, who said that you can't be satisfied with a single seal, so Maishna Gvina. So why is he okay with a single seal on cheese? The Lo Tarachu Mazayev, because we're not worried that the person's going to go through a hassle to forge a new seal. So To do the same thing with milk. Chalav nami lo tarach mezayif. With milk also, one seal should be enough. So Gemara says, you know, when Rav said you need two seals on something which is a ches, it's not milk. Amar Rav Kahana, oh, bichalav, take out milk. V'ayil chatichas dag shein basimin. Refer to a piece of fish that doesn't have fins and scales on it. One second, the Gemara says, hainu basa. That's the same thing as meat, where you said you needed to have two seals to send it in the hand of the non-Jew. So Gemara says, yeah, trei gavni basa, two types of sort of steaks. Shmuel amar, Shmuel said, beis aser b'chosam echad. Beis, one seal is not enough. But mem ches and gimel mutter b'chosam echad. Mem ches and gimel, one seal is enough. What is beis? Basar. That is meat. Then the yud of the beis is yain, is wine. And the tough is tcheles, is the dyed blue wool. Asur b'chosam echad, with one seal, it's still not enough. But he doesn't count fish. What is mem ches gimel at one seal is enough? Muryas, fish stew, chiltis, sardines, and gvina and cheese. Mutar b'chosam echad, it's okay with a single seal. So the Shmuel, the reason why he doesn't count fish, chatichas dag shein basimin haynu basar. He doesn't have to tell you fish, because a piece of fish which doesn't have fins and scales on is the same as meat. Trei gavne basar lo aminin. There was no need to count two different types of steaks.
It's a fillet.
I guess so, yeah, fillet.
You're not allowed to buy not a piece of fish that doesn't have a piece of skin on it?
Without some proof. That's what it sounds like here.
Yeah.
Tanar Rabbanu, we looked in a braisa. Ein lokhin yemach mechag besurya. You can't buy these six things, yud, mem, ches, and gimel, even from Jewish shopkeepers in Surya. Because they're not careful. They buy a lot from the non-Jews, and they're not careful on lifnei iver. What is yimach mechag? Lo yayin, not wine. Lo murius, not fish stew. Lo chalav, not milk. Lo melach sal kanduris, not the sal kanduri salt. Lo chiltis, not these sardines. Lo gvina, not cheese. Ela min amumcha. You can only buy it from a salesman that you know is not going to sell the non-kosher stuff. Fakulon and all of these things. Let's say you're eating at the home of this Jewish shopkeeper. Mutter, you can eat with him his fish stew or his milk, because he himself is not going to eat the non-kosher. He just will sell the non-kosher. This is a proof to Rabbi Shimon Levi. Don't Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Shagalo balabayas leveso mutter. If the balabayas sends from these things from his home to your home, you are allowed to eat them. My time, why? Balabayas lo shava keteira v'achali sura. The balabayas is not going to leave what's permitted and eat what's prohibited. V'chim shagale, when he sends to you, mimai do'achim shadule, he's sending you from what he himself eats. Melach sal kanduris, my melach sal kanduris, what is this? Amar av Yehuda, amar Shmuel, melach it's salt. Shekol sal kandure romi, that all the bakers of Rome, Ochlenosa, they eat it, and it's not allowed to a Jew because they put in it, you know, fat of non-kosher things. Tana Rabbanu Lintin and Braisa, Melech Sal Kanduris Shchora Asura, the black Melech Sal Kanduris is not allowed. Levana Muteris, the white one is allowed according to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Levana Asura, the white one's not allowed, and Shchora Muteris, the black one is allowed. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Meshim Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer Zov Zov Asur, they're both not allowed. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, the Divrei Omer Levan Asur, the one who says that the white one's not allowed, it's because Kirvei Dagim Levanim Tmeim Uravin Ba, the insides of white non-kosher fish are there. The Divrei Omer Shchor Asur, the one who says the black one's not allowed, it's Kirvei Dagim Shchorim Tmeim Uravin Ba, the Divrei Omer Zov Zov Asur, it's because both the insides of non-kosher black fish and the insides of non-kosher white fish, Muravin Bar, mixed in with it. Amar Rav Avoh, Mishum Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, Zaken Echad, one elderly non-Jew, Haya B'shchun HaSein, was in our town, She'amachlik Paneh B'shuman Chazir, used to smear the face of the Sal Kanduris salt with the oil of a pig. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzak Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zaka says Yisrael, Lefichach Yerbalahem Torah, Mitzvah, Shneemar, Abnech Pesaman, Tzikoy, Agdil, Taravi Adir.